Erev Shabbos Chodesh Parshas Mishpatim Chof Ches Shvat February 8th, 2013. Okay, as I just mentioned before, off the tapes, if you're following along on the tape and on the recording, you do not need a chumash this week. Most of it will be outside, and the couple lines that I will be reading inside, they should be self-explanatory. But there's a well-known Rashi in this week's Parsha, actually the first Rashi in this week's Parsha. Right, the Pasuk says, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim, asher tasim lefneim. Right, the Pasuk says, Perek chaf alef, Pasuk alef, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim, asher tasim lefneim. And then, for the next probably about 5-6 aliyahs, you see many, many halachas, which was just mentioned again off the tape, but there's many halachas from Shas that come out of this parasha. Right, a lot, most of it has to do with Chosha Mishpat, how you're supposed to deal with not interpersonal relationships, but in terms of someone else's property, how you should treat someone else's property. But we have a large section of halachas. But Rashi says, what does it mean, Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim? And he's quoting a Mechilta. But the Mechilta says, anytime it says Ela without a Vav, it's not a Vav HaMosav, it's just saying really where the Lashon Rashi uses that we're passeling the first ones, right? We're saying, Pasel HaRishonim. Whatever we said until now, scratch that. New set of laws. Ela HaMishpatim, it sounds like it's a new thing. You have to puzzle the Rishonim, the ones that we said until now, don't count. Right? Or they're being, fine-tuned. We have to change exactly what it means. However, when it says Ve'ela HaMishpatim with that Vav, it's called a Vav Mosif. It's saying it's Mosif al Rishonim. Right? It's really coming to add on the Rishonim. What's it coming to be Mosif, Rashi says? Said Ma HaRishonim miSinai, just like we know last week's parasha by the Aseres Hadibros, that those were said by Sinai. Sa'af Elu miSinai, so too the halachas of parashas Mishpatim were said at Sinai also. Fine. Ad Kanra. I mean, he says another thing, but not going to get to this point. So I saw, a lot of this I heard on Ray Franch here from many years ago, but Moshe Feinstein's Atzal asked the following question on this Rashi. Says, what's Rashi adding? Right, that just like the Aseres Hadibros were said by Sinai, so too these halachas in Parshas Mishpatim were said by Sinai. Why? What's he adding? Because if you remember Rashi in Parshas Bahar by Shemitah, right? I don't think someone just said that, but if you remember Rashi by Parshas Bahar when discussing the mitzvah of Shemitah, so the pasuk there says in Vayikra Chaf Alef, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Aleph. Right, actually, the first pasuk in Parshas Bahar, 25:1. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar. So Rashi famously tells us, the well-known Rashi, why is it telling us Bahar Sinai? What does Har Sinai have to do with Shemitah? So Rashi says, right, he asks the question, Rani Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, what's Shaychus? All the mitzvahs were said at Sinai. So Zak Rashi, Elamash Shemitah Nemru Kol Sehov V'Pratasehov D'Kekeham B'Sinai. Just like by Sinai, the mitzvah of Shemitah, all the specific details that have to do with this mitzvah were said by Sinai. Zot Rashi af kula nemru kulasan v'dukuseyem b'Sinai. So the Torah is telling us that just like this mitzvah, we know it's all its details were said by Sinai, as the pasuk is telling us. So too, every mitzvah that was said, all its prototel, v'dukuseyem, v'kaloseyem, I said that out of order, but every single aspect of every single mitzvah was said at Har Sinai. So the fact of Moshe Feinstein, that's all I don't understand. Once we know, I know the Rashi in Mishpatim is first, but once we know Rashi in Parshas Bahar, what says that every single detail of every single mitzvah was said at Sinai, so what's the Torah adding? What's Rashi adding? Then it says, Ve'ela, right, it's really Rashi's pshat in the Torah, what's Rashi adding when it says, Ve'ela Mishpatim, these also were said by Sinai. Everything was said by Sinai. Right? We would know that from other places. Why would you have to have two, quote-unquote, Maimer Chazal to tell us, two different places to tell us that all the halachas, all the mitzvahs were said by Sinai. So Rav Moshe Zatzal answers based on a Ramban at the end of the parsha. When I was preparing a Ramban this week, I thought maybe you could, he didn't say this, but maybe you could connect it with the first Ramban in the parsha also, which I'll speak out. But the Ramban, it's a long Ramban, and I'm not going to go through it, but he says one line that I want to tell you about. But the Ramban, in the end of the parsha, Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, right, basically after all the mitzvahs happen, are said, so it says, Ve'al Moshe Omar Aleil Hashem, Atavarana Dovaviu Vashim Zikne Israel, Ishtachavisa Meirachok, right? So then he basically says go up to take them up to the mountain. And it says and Moshe said all as called the Rei Hashem, as called the Mishpatim, he told over all the commandments, all the Mishpatim, all the laws. And then it says even a few Pasukim later, I think Pasuk Zion, it says Nasiv Nishman, not Pasuk Zion. Yeah, Pasuk Zion. Veikach Sefer Bris, Veikra Ba'ozne Ya'am, Vayomru Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nasiv Nishman. Right, so the Mefarshim are bothered by what is doing here, when exactly did this happen, when did it not happen. Rashi actually says, so now I have a little cast on Ramosha because of this, unless I just don't understand Ramosha. Rashi holds that this part, the end of Parshim Mishpatim, actually happened before Maimon Har Sinai. Right, this didn't really happen at the end of Parshim Mishpatim, this really happened before, I think it says on Dalid Sivan, before Moshe went up to the mountain. The Ramban here argues that the Ramban says it doesn't make sense to say, first we say the Ten Commandments, then we say all the Mishpatim, and then he goes, then the Torah goes back to tell us what happens before Har Sinai. So he doesn't like Rashi's Peshat. The Ramban says, he holds that these, that the Pasuk is telling you here at the end of the Parashah, Parashah Chof Dalet, is that really all the mitzvahs were said at the same time. Aseres Hadibros, at least I don't know all the mitzvahs, but all the Mishpatim. I don't know if Moshe said all 613 at this time. Right, the lesson of the pasuk here is mishpatim, the laws. So at least all the mishpatim that we have in this week's parasha, ve'ela ha'mishpatim asher tasim l'vneim. So the Ramban holds that they are all said bevas achas aseres hadibros and the mishpatim together. Now it sounds like in the same maimon, the same maimon Har Sinai.
And yet there are other words to say that dinin would give with a mora, which is earlier.
So it could be that's where Rashi is coming from. Yeah, I don't know, but at least it sounds to be it's a machlokas rishonim exactly when this happened.
But I'm confused. Is everything given at Sinai, or is it just? I mean, the whole entire Torah. I thought just the Aseres Dibros. Now you're saying, you know, now you're saying that the Mishpatim were given right. too. I mean, I mean, Moshe obviously got the whole Torah. We know that, and then he's teaching the 40 years. But I'm confused. I thought it was just the, you know, somebody told me it was the Aseres Dibros. I'm not sure.
All right. So the way I think the Ramban's learning, I'll read you the way Moshe Feinstein Zatzal wrote it. But the way the Ramban's learning is that I think what comes out is that Moshe went up. Moshe went up, said the Aseres Hadibros, at the same time said all the Mishpatim, right? And then, just gotta find the page here. And then he went, well, Moshe was up when by Maimon Har Sinai? Moshe was already in Shemayim.
He went up, came down, went back up again. People say go back up.
Right, so I think the way the Ramban is learning, right, he went up,
right,
so I think he went up, he came down, he taught them the Aseres Hadibros and all Parshas Mishpatim, and then he went back up again. That's the way the Ramban is learning. Rashi learns otherwise, which is a little, if I understood Ramosha correctly, I don't understand how he could answer this for Rashi, because he's going to bring this Ramban to answer Rashi. I think Rashi disagreed in terms of the order here. But he says, if you look at the Ramban, he says, Shakol Nemru Keseder. The whole Parsha was said, Keseder, what you see in Parsha Yisro, and then you see in Parsha Mishpatim, that happened the way you see it is the way it happened, the Ramban says. He says, Umosha Yorim in Ahara Achar Parsha Mishpatim, Limsa Lehem Adibros, Ad Kol HaParsha de Mishpatim. So Moshe went up, he went down to teach them the Parsha, to teach them everything through Parsha Mishpatim. And then va'achakach ola odpam. Then after he went up, he heard it from Hashem. He came down and taught them Aseres Hadibros and Parshas Mishpatim, right? All the different halachas, the different mitzvahs we have in this parsha. And then he went back up again, and it says ulechein samchan akasiv mishum dinei mamon shomer b'torah kasha adam eino shomerim hu kafir chas v'shalom v'Hashem. Right. So let me tell you what Moshe's answer is. The way the Ramban's learning, the way this happened, is that they were all said at the same time. When Moshe told over the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments to the Jewish people, he also said over the many, many different Hilchos Mishpatim, right? The Choshen Mishpat Shailas the Choshen Mishpat Halachas that were said in this week's Parsha. But Moshe says that it comes out from this Ramban that even though we always put the Aseres Hadibros on its own pedestals, being the Ten Commandments, and that's true. But to some extent, the fact that they were all taught together, Parashas Mishpatim, together with Aseres Hadibros, Ramosha says, it comes out that theoretically they have the same status. Right? Just like we realize that all those fundamentals of our faith, Aseres Hadibros, right, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, Right, we'll go down the whole list, but the, all those are important for our fundamentals of our faith, right? For the halachas of Judaism, right? It comes out from this Ramban of Moshe's understanding that it's also parshas mishpatim. Now, why is that true? Right, as when a friend quoted over this from Moshe, he asked the following question, which I think Moshe is alluding to. But isn't it a little strange that in the same breath that Hashem is telling you, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, right? And I'm telling you about Shabbos, which we learned last week is to teach us, to remind us that Hashem is our God, right? And all the Seres Adibros, he says, oh, by the way, right, if someone digs a bore, right, digs a pit, and there's just a rabbin, this is a halacha. And if your ox gores my ox, this is a halacha. These seem to be very trivial things when it comes to, quote-unquote, what our the important things are, right? But yet, in the same breath, we're saying that Hashem basically said, Moshe told over, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, which obviously is very important for any believing person to know and to believe. And yet, at the same time, we have all these, quote-unquote, trivial halachas. I'm not saying they're not important halachas, but seemingly not the same status halachas, which were said at the same time, according to this Ramban, which he's understanding is, as to some extent, the same status. So what's pshat? So Rav Moshe answers, that was the line that I started reading you before, is that because, what's Parshas Mishpatim talking about? For the most part, it's talking about how we deal with other people. Other people's property, even if you want to put, right, it's not saying don't be, let me add one more thing, actually. The Ramban, Rav Moshe doesn't say this, the first Ramban in the Parsha explains that really most of these halachas and parshas mishpatim are really an explanation of the 10th commandment of lo sachmod. A person shouldn't desire. You have to know what you shouldn't desire, right? The fact that a person realizes that this is his, right? This is mine, let's say, and this is someone else's, right? This is my ox, and that's his ox, and this is my field, that's his field. So that's what the Torah is setting aside. That's the things that you should realize are each person's, each individual's person, and as a result, I shouldn't be desiring your thing, you shouldn't be desiring my thing. So the Ramban, this is a shtickle, makes it a little nicer. The Ramban, the first Ramban in the parsha, a short Ramban, if you want to see it, he goes through how these most of these mitzvahs are really a perish, an explanation of this the 10th commandment, lo sachmod. But it's coming out, lefi, what Rav Moshe is bringing from this Ramban later in the parsha fits very nicely. Right, he says, what's the pshat that they, quote-unquote, have the same status? They're similar to that extent. What's the pshat? So Moshe says that if a person doesn't keep the, doesn't guard his property well, he's not careful with someone else's property. Right, which is the many halachas in this parsha, how you should treat someone else's property, how your animals should treat someone else's property. Right, if a person doesn't treat someone else's properly, respectfully. And he thinks a lot of times it has to do with gezel, right? If a person thinks you're in business and you think, you know, okay, I can do a nice business deal. My partner doesn't know. He won't figure it out, right? I can make a little more money for myself. He said, if a person doesn't realize that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if you don't realize that Hashem is your God, then you might come to do all these things. If you do one of these things, Dr. Moshe, if you're not honest in all your dealings in business, in your interpersonal relationships between man and his friend, right? You accidentally scratch someone's car and you say, well, no one's looking, and you drive past, right? You know it's someone's car, your friend's car. Or, right, you get some extra change at the supermarket and you realize that you, all these daily examples that could come up, right? So a person is missing in the fundamental belief that Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Rav Moshe says, someone who doesn't believe that, someone who thinks that if I do something, it's the joke which Mr. Tannenbaum said a few weeks ago from Rabbi Levine, right? But the way Ramosha says that if a person cheats in business, cheats anywhere, right? But obviously, it's more common, I guess, in business. And we all have opportunities, whoever is involved in the business world every day. And I'll give some examples in a second. But if a person cheats, it comes out that he's missing this fundamental belief of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why? He says the lashon he uses is your kfira chas v'shalom b'Hashem. You're denying Hashem. Because if you really believe that Hashem is the God, and Hashem is the all-capable, and Hashem is all-powerful, as we spoke about last week, Lagabe, what the reminder of Shabbos is supposed to teach us. But if you really believe that, you realize, even though it might be hard to believe it sometimes and to realize it, but you realize that Hashem could give you parnasa and give someone else's parnasa. So you don't have to do your own cheating and swindling and trickery to get those few dollars in your pocket, because that's showing to some extent, kochi v'otzim yodi, that I'm in control. Right, I'm going to do, it's my chap that I thought of, it happens to be on someone else's account, right? But it's my chaf that's going to get me this extra money, right? You're being denying an Hashem, which comes out the tremendous yisod, that any time a person doesn't keep one of these halachas in parashas mishpatim, right? You're not careful with someone else's property, it comes out to some extent you're denying Hashem chas v'shalom, it's being a kofar be'ikar.
Quick question.
Sure.
I'm going to see if I understand correctly. So the Seres Dibros were given that Sade. Hashem, you know, Mamashi spoke to us. We know that. And then because it was too much, Moshe, the people said, go to Hashem. Then Moshe came down after that and did the Mishpatim. Is that how it worked? The Mishpatim, they weren't terrified. It was the Ten Commandments, right? I
mean, right, but once he was talking, he told them from Parshas Yisrael through Parshas Mishpatim, the Ramban says. He taught them all these halachas, the Ten Commandments, halachas.
Am I correct the way he did it? I mean, in other words, people were terrified. They kept dying.
After the first two.
The first two. And then they...
Hashem said the first
there.
Two, they so, passed and out.
Then Moshe... And he continued with the Mishpatim.
The way the Ramban's learning, I don't think Rashi's learning this way. I have to look into Rashi better. So I'm not sure how Moshe's using this Ramban to answer the Rashi. But so that I'm going to have to look into it and figure that out.
The only ones on the stone, the explanations
right.
came with the rest.
Right.
So maybe that's one of the differences. You know, there's
right.
It's like, you know, what is fundamental, you know, is fundamental, they're all fundamental, but are they fundamental to everyone in the same place, sense?
Right, so even Rashi could learn.
It and they said, this is what's fundamental.
Right.
And maybe in a sense, it is fundamental for the world, just like the idea of the Mashiach is fundamental to the world.
Right.
That was brought into, you know, that there's fundamentals. I mean, when you have a ger, what do you have to teach them? Fundamentals. Maybe that, you know, to not scare them away.
So, right.
Bring in the air of Rav, maybe this is the fundamental.
Right.
The rest of the people have to know all this because
right.
this is what makes you a Jew.
Right.
That's the
point that Ramos is exactly trying to point out. It could be, I have to look at Rashi better. I didn't understand Rashi this way, but he's trying to say this to answer Rashi. The reason why the Pasuk is saying, Ve'ilah HaMishbatim Asher Tassim Lefneim, that just like those, the Ten Commandments were set at our Sinai, so to these were the way he's learning Rashi, based on this Ramban later in the Parsha, is that just like we realize that if a person doesn't believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he's a complete kofar be'ikar. He says there's no God. As we talked about in Parshas Bo, there was different ways to deny God, whether he's not so involved, he doesn't know what's going on. But if you deny God, that's clear to us, he's a kofar be'ikar. He denies God. Right? Ramos is pointing out that it comes out from this Ramban, since all these halachas were also said in, quote-unquote, the same breath at the same time, if a person is going to not be careful when it comes to someone else's property, you have the same problem of denying Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because if you really believe that Hashem is the all-capable and the all-powerful, and he can give you every single cent that comes into your... obviously, you have to do a shtadlus, but if you do an honest shtadlus, right, and Hashem is the one who's providing you for the parnasa, right, if we really believe that every Rosh Hashanah / Yom Kippur, depending if you're a Beinoni or not a Beinoni, but in Rosh Hashanah, it's set that this person is going to make X amount of dollars this year, so then as long as you're doing it in an honest way and you're not being lazy about it, obviously you're trying to do the best you can, so then that money will come to you. If you have to quote-unquote cheat, if you have to not be honest sometimes, even if it's shady honest, but it's not so honest, to some extent, you're being a kofar be'ikar chas v'shalom. That's what Ramos is trying to point out. That's the Pshat and Rashi says. You see, these are significant things that we're being taught in Parshas Mishpatim. I just want to add to that. This year, Yom Kippur, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was sleeping over at a friend's apartment because the yeshiva that I davened by, my yeshiva that I learned there, was not near where I was staying in Yerushalayim. It was about a 45-minute walk, and on Yom Kippur morning when they started at 5:30, I wasn't so in jet lag because I only got there two nights before. I wasn't so interested in risking walking over. So I slept over at one of my friend's apartments, and he had this book. I was a little jet lag, so I was reading a lot that night. And I picked up this book I don't say by coincidence, but I happened to see a very powerful piece in the Sefer with Hearts Full of Faith by the selection of Shmuzin from Matisyahu Solomon, Shlita the Mashkiach of Lakewood. And he had a piece called Stop the Robbery. It's about 20 pages. I'm not going to go through all 20 pages now. But he makes, I'm going to pull out some key points which I think are very relevant to this discussion. But he makes the following ha'ara, is that one of the things that we on, you know, in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur really, but when we say vidui, one of the things we say vidui on is gezela, right? He says gezalnu, right? Ashanu, beganu, gezalnu, is we say we steal, right? If you look, he doesn't mention this, but I once Right, Fran, a few years ago in his Tshuva Drasha, he based his Tshuva Drasha off this line we say in the Ila. I don't have the machzor in front of me, but one of the only things we say in the Vidui of Ne'ilah is Laman, I think Oshek Yadenu, Nechtel VaOshek Yadenu. That we to some extent we stole. My friend, his shir, he didn't say that we physically stole. He said that we're stealing our potential. Right? Hashem gives us life.
So what did we steal?
In that specific shir, my friend brought he made a whole shir out of it, obviously. But he basically said that Hashem's giving us life, and He's giving us certain kochos, different abilities, and if we don't use our abilities to that extent, we're stealing, and that's what we're stealing from Hashem. Here's a gift, and we're not using that gift. So he said, that's what we have to do tshuva on. Now, Rav Matisyo, he doesn't quote that line, but maybe you could use that idea also. Is that one of the things we're saying vidui on by Yom Kippur, by Ne'ilah, the holiest time of the year, is that we're stealing. Now, the way he asked the question, like, how many people are really going into someone else's wallet, taking out a few dollars, and not putting it back? Right? How many people are really doing that? That's what we have, that's what it's all about. That's what we have to do. Viduyan. So he says that a person has to realize, and basically he doesn't quote Parshas Mishpatim, but a lot of these halachas that he mentions is this Parsha. He said this comes out, the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us on Kuf Samach Hayim and Aleph 165a, that almost everybody, most people are violate the Isser of Gezel, of stealing. The Gemara says talks about Rosh Hashanah and Gezel, but it says most people, not everybody, but most people violate stealing to some extent. So also said, what's shot in this Gemara, right? Does that mean that many of us, even if you've done it in your youth or etc., but on a general year-to-year basis, people are not going into someone else's house, stealing some objects and coming out, right, and putting them back. So what's shot? He said, if you realize that there's many types of ways, different ways that a person could be over on Gezel, right? He says, for example, Oshek, right? If you withhold someone else's property that rightfully belongs to them, included in that, he says, if you have a worker and you don't pay him on time, right? If you have a mortgage check or a rent check that unless you got an extension, right, you didn't pay on time, really you're, when you signed up for that lease or that mortgage, you're saying that I'm committing to pay on the every month, whatever it is, right? Another thing is if you borrow money from someone and you're supposed to pay back by a certain time, and you didn't. Again, if all these cases you've got an extension, so then you're not really withholding it because they gave you. These apply. There's a whole shiloh whether you're over on stealing from a Gentile, right? So I think it's usher, but I don't remember the sugya offhand. It's definitely.
Hashem.
Right. So maybe the whole discussion that I remember is if you're mechuyev to pay back. That might be a discussion that we've shown him whether you're mechuyev to pay back if you did steal from a guy. But another form of gezel, he says, is damaging someone's property, right? Even if it's just a shava pruta worth, right? Which I think I once heard a shir about on this about 10 years ago, maybe a little more. I think the Rebbe who worked out, depending on how much the silver was worth at that time, it came out to about less than a nickel. A shava pruta. So if you scratch someone's car by accident, right, the Jewish person's car, right, if it's a non-Jewish person, it might be, I don't remember the halachas, I'm not sure if you have to pay back, right, shor v'chil Hashem is just quoted, so you should be careful. So if you, even a pruta worth, even a nickel worth of damage, right, that could also be, that's also halachically considered gezel. Right, another example he says, I'll just end with this, but another example he says is that if someone's getting paid for a full day's work and they don't put in a full day's time, right, some offices, I think the protocol is that it's accepted, you don't have to be sitting in your desk the whole time, but assuming that you're expected to be working besides your break hours, so if you're using that time to talk with colleagues, not work-related, right, or if you're using, he said, the phone to the person, again, everybody has to know the protocol of their specific office, every office is different, right, but it could be gezel. One of the examples he gave, that if you're a kolo yungaman, right, you're getting supported by someone, whether it's a kola, whether it's a family member, etc. If a person who's getting supported to learn is coming late to learning, or he's missing days altogether, again, what's not considered acceptable, right? So then that could also be stealing. That's also stealing. Yeah, we have all these cases that we don't think about, which are potentially stealing. And he says,
so you can't work as hard as you normally would.
So he doesn't give that example.
Giving your, but your day's
So he doesn't give that example. Like I could hear that, maybe speak to Rav exactly. I don't know Chachos Shemishpat well at all, unfortunately. But assuming that you're not onus, that you're able to, right, sometimes people just can't fall asleep at light night, and even with the pills and et cetera, whatever you use to calm you down, right?
There's specific laws about taking a second job and not being able to do your
So not putting in. Right, the same idea that if someone's hiring you to put in X amount of work, right, and you're not putting in your full that you could do. So again, if you're onus, maybe I could hear your onus, right? It's an accident. What are you supposed to do? Right, things come up, but if you're being careless about it, right? If you're maybe it's a good example of going to sleep late when you had the ability to go to sleep earlier. Maybe I didn't think about that one. Maybe that could be also. Right, so there's many things that we chas v'shalom could be over on Gezel, which as the Gemara says, most people are over, and that's what we have to do tshuva really all year. But he says the Ramatzio goes on to explain that the way to do tshuva is not just wake up about it, the Yom Kippur. Is to have this idea plant in your head that you know you have to think about what you're doing, right? So then to realize that it's a problem, right? Most people are over it. Don't think, okay, most people, it's everybody's problem, right? Obviously, each one has to make a cheshbon where they might be chas v'shalom nichshol in. He quotes one more thing. I'll end with this, but he quotes a very scary thing. He quotes from the Sefer Mitzvos Hagadol, the Smag. That he writes in Mitzvah Saseh 74, he says the people who are going to be around, the Navi makes mention that in Sefania, that not everybody of Klal Yisrael is going to make it till Mashiach. It's going to be very gruesome. What exactly happens, I don't know. But the war of Gog and Magog, it's not supposed to be pleasant. But not everybody's going to make it, right? Only a remnant of Israel who will do no evil, the Navi says, who will speak falsehood. Nor will deceitful tongues be found in the mouth. So the Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol, the Smag, one of the Rishonim adds that the only people who are going to be around is the ones, he says, a line, that they should not lie to other Jews or to Gentiles or deceive them in any other way. Any way at all, sorry. So all the people that, again, I don't know if all the Rishonim hold this way, but at least the Smag, one of the great Rishonim, hold that the people who are going to make it to Mashiach, the Jewish people are going to make it to Mashiach, are the ones that are honest, right? And they won't be deceitful neither to a Jew or to a Goy, right? And they should also say, he adds one more line, they should sanctify themselves by refraining even from things that are permitted to them. So Matisyo spends many pages but explaining why exactly it's true. His basic yisod is, the way I understood it, is that when Mashiach comes, the Goyim are going to have a taina. Hashem's going to do all of these miracles for the Jewish people. Right, we know that Kriyas Yamsuf and all the miracles of Mitzrayim are not going to be compared to the miracles that are going to happen by Mashiach. So the Goyim are going to have tainas. So they're going to say, Hashem, who are these people that you did all these miracles for? Right, the Jewish people. What is so special about the Jewish people? So Hashem's going to have to show them how they're better than everybody else. What does that mean? He said, of course, a person could, when it comes to our regular mitzvahs, forget being deceitful, let's say davening with kavanah and learning Torah and crying on Yom Kippur, feeling the tshuva, right? All these things, those are all wonderful things. And everybody who does it, it's a big mitzvah and you're going to get rewarded for it. Don't think chas v'shalom you're not going to get rewarded. But in terms of where do the goyim see the Jewish people? They don't see us putting on tefillin in the morning. They don't see us, for the most part, being mesiras nefesh to look for a nice esrog, right, for dalaminim and working hard to clean for Pesach and, right, and doing all the things. That's not where they see us, right? So they don't see our mesiras nefesh, quote-unquote. Where do they see us? They see us in the marketplace, right, in the business world, for the most part, right? Obviously, you have exceptions. For the most part, that's where they see us. So if he says that's why, it's not even enough to be honest. The lesson of the Smag was you have to go out of your way to sanctify yourself, to be above honest, to be very scrupulously honest. He said, why? Because if you're not honest, and that's the impression that the non-Jews have of us, so then they're going to say, why should you be saved, right? They're not such great people. Look, they're cheating and they're this and that. Chas v'shalom, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to have to say, you're right, there'll be a massive Chilul Hashem. I shouldn't have saved it. Now, even if, let's say, they're honest people, Rav Matisyahu explains. So then the guy will say, I hear they're good people, but the guy also have some nice people, some honest people. It's only when you go above and beyond, right, at least according to the Smag, it's only when you go above and beyond, then the guy will say, oh, now I understand. That's their impression of the Jewish people. That's why they'll understand why. That's why they were saved, and that's why Hashem did all these nisim for Mashiach. So, idea that I want to try to implant for myself, and really for everybody else here who's listening, whether it's physically in the shiur or hear the tape. But the idea that we don't think, a lot of times that's really the kasha that everybody's asking, is that we don't look at ourselves as ganavim, right? We don't really steal. Right? But if you realize that, if you go through parashas mishpatim and you realize that you're not careful with someone else's property, right? Especially in the business world where the goyim have the, that's where the non-Jews see us and that's where they observe us, right? So that's going to, you have to realize that's considered being kofar be'ikr chas v'shalom also by not denying that Hashem is taking care of our parnasa.
Maybe that's the meaning of the Gemara, Haiman Devoim with the Nevi Chasida, Leila Chaim, mean like the Nzikin.
The Gemara in Baba Kama, right.
So what's that mean?
Whoever wants to be a pious person is incumbent upon him to be careful with the laws of